our Slack, and we've got some stuff for you, and maybe you're gonna like it, and maybe you're not. But
sure to be the most difficult program on the WAMH lineup for the evening.
Yes, definitely. Hope you enjoy it. Good luck. There we go.
There is perhaps no other period in this century in which such a height of interest has existed for that area
as the sound of the
extrasensory
perception.
Recently, my Preston ESP game has received considerable attention, in part, I feel, because it has given to anyone interested the opportunity not only to have fun with the mind, but also to test one's ability for ESP, just as is being done at numerous universities around the world. This record contains a series of tests. You will have the opportunity of experiencing them yourself. Make no bones about it. The tests in themselves are not psychic phenomena, nor are they spiritualistic manifestations of any kind, though many people in the past actually believe them to be so. These tests will enable you to tap your unconscious level of thought. While you will find them fascinating and rather expected time amazing, you will also learn there is an unrealized control existing deep within your unconscious. And you may tap it without dreams, without hypnotism or crystal balls of a light. We who have been keenly involved in ESP research suspect that such ability would occur largely on an unconscious level. Consequently, your experiences with these tests may create a room or readiness for serious testing of your own ESP potential. You know, the mind plays strange tricks upon us. Have you ever walked into a strange room, or entered a city, or had a conversation which left you with this vague feeling that you had been through it before? This is called the deja vu experience. What about the alarm clock mind that suddenly influences it? It's this net by which you decide at bedtime exactly what hour you wish to awake in the morning. Lo and behold, you do it without an alarm clock. How often have you found certain inner convictions which for no apparent rhyme or reason, no. Later on, you found such questions. All of these experiences are demonstrations of the unconscious activities of the self. At the same time, they can be considered what the voice is of the common earth. You can't be certain just what is the answer to telepathy. And yet, thought transference seems to be the most commonly accepted form of ESP. When the telephone rings and you feel certain who's calling, is this coincidence? Or is it unconscious reasoning? Or is it telepathy? We can't be certain today just what is the answer to telepathy. And yet thought transfer seems to be the most commonly accepted form of ESP. When the telephone rings and you feel certain who is calling, is this coincidence? Or is it unconscious reasoning? Or is it telepathy? And frankly, I feel there are too many people who have unexpectedly and mysteriously known when a friend or relative was in trouble for us to simply chalk it up as mere coincidence. What is the explanation? Who knows? It's my hope, though, that as a mentalist, we can reverse the order of the letters ESP to PSE, that is, phenomena scientifically explainable. Meanwhile, you're about to enter an uncanny world of your mind. Whether you are alone or with a group of friends, you will discover how to tap your unconscious. You will find yourself drawn toward information and ideas which we have forgotten or never realized you knew. Mind. You're about to discover your own powers to hold an ESP party.
Oh. It's an ESP party. Invite your friends.
Yeah, they used to eat these things, officer, when I was a little kid. Sure. We don't do anything with the leaves. We burn them. In fact, that's how little we think of them.
We make books of them and then we burn them. You burn whole books of them.
You can make books on the burnings.
Yeah, right. You can get 5-1, 6-1. You can get 10-5 if you're not careful.
Well, you can get really stoned, too.
And
yeah, man, it's well, some of it's sugar.
It sure is, baby. It is so sweet. I put it in my coffee and that's how we...
Well, I said turn him over. He used to stand on his head because he thought he was in China.
Right.
Thought he'd get along with everybody. What's weird, man? You ever seen a guy with eyes in his feet?
Hey, sure. Hey, just like a potato, right?
Sure. That's what we used to call him, Spud.
Spud Raleigh.
Yeah, Spud Raleigh. I was in gym class with him.
Yeah, Jim?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. What? Did you go to gym high school?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, that was a fine high school.
What's your name, buddy?
Jim. How you doing, babe? Right on, brother.
Fine.
Got it out of my- Wait a minute. You said garbage? That does sound like it might be my kind of song, but I hate singing, so I doubt if I'll like it.
Well, you don't have to sing on it. Actually, all you need to do is growl on it.
Well, maybe I could get into liking that.
All right, now you'll see where the growling part comes. Mr. Thompson calls the waiter, orders steak and baked potato. He leaves the bone and gristle, and he never eats the skin. The busboy comes and takes it, with a cough contaminates it, puts it in a can with coffee grounds and sardine tins.
I like it already.
And the truck comes by on Friday and carts it all away. And 1,000 trucks just like it are converging on the bay. Oh, garbage, 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 garbage,
garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage.
We're filling up the seas with garbage,
garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage.
What will we do when there's no place left to put all the garbage?
Garbage, 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 garbage.
Mr. Thompson starts his Cadillac, winds it down the freeway track, leaving friends and neighbors in a hydrocarbon haze. He's joined by lots of smaller cars, all sending gases to the stars, there to form a seething cloud that hangs for 30 days. And the sun licks down into it with an ultraviolet tongue, turns it into smog, and then it settles in our lungs. Oh,
garbage, 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 garbage.
We're filling up the skies with garbage,
garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage.
What will we do when there's nothing left to breathe but garbage,
garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage?
Getting home and taking off his shoes, he settles with the evening news while the kids do homework with the TV in one ear. While Superman for the thousandth time sells talking dolls and conquers crime, dutifully they learn the date of birth of Paul Revere. And in the papers there's a piece about the mayor's middle name. He gets it read in time to watch the all-star bingo game. Oh,
garbage, 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 garbage.
We're filling up our minds with garbage,
garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage, garbage.
What will we do when there's nothing left to read, and there's nothing left to need, and there's nothing left to watch, and there's nothing left to touch, and there's nothing left to walk upon, and nothing left to talk upon, nothing left to see, and nothing left to be but
garbage.
Jenny go when she went to town? Who are all those creeps that she brings around?
All of your children are
poor. Bryant believes that a basic human comfort like drug infestation should be affordable.
Drug infestation
should be affordable. And with Bryant's, it is
a drug infested nation.
And I could also tell you that perhaps maybe the lottery ought to do something about it.
Now it gets better.
But more importantly than that, I would think, is that there are some people out there that are going to try and fight this on the basis of civil liberties. And I'm not so sure whether the civil liberties people haven't guaranteed us a drug-infested nation. The civil liberties people, they're just sucking up those Budweisers and belching, waiting for the game to start. Well, maybe the lottery.
Now, some people are very quick to pick it up, and you're not. You're a bit slow.
So do you want to talk to the people or anything?
Look, Angry Johnny.
Who's Angry Johnny?
Slab Steelman and Animal Kaysa.
Who are they?
Angry Johnny and the Stats. They come us up before. They make us play their song.
Oh, that's right. They suck. I mean, they were great.
They have guns. It's one of your photographs.
Oh, they have guns. We'd like to suggest everyone listen to Angry Johnny and the Snots, because they have guns. And hell if you don't.
A gun.
Yeah, but it's a good gun.
It's big.
It's a good gun. Well, anyway.
That was a composition of the afternoon.
No, yeah, that was the composition of the afternoon. 25 minutes long. I'm surprised. I thought it was a lot shorter. So we're going to go on and do some music, some normal music, and then we'll come back to tapes later. This next song is a song by a wonderful band called Cheap Trick, and it's called Surrender, and it's incredible.
Give it away, man.
I guess I didn't have to tell you that, because they're going to do it for you.
Yeah, he's going to tell you. Yeah, this is WAMH.
Yeah, 89.3.
It just came out this week, and the song is called Surrender.
Told me stay away, you'll never
God, what an anthem. I can take on the world.
Trans Am and roared away. He let it go. Inside, Michael freed Chun-Li. Sore but unhurt, she told the location of the warehouse. The mission was far from over. The cat was out of the bag, so Michael made a direct, high-speed approach to the warehouse.
That for the first time in American history, the army was used in an operation against the American people?
Yes!
Right near here, up in Humboldt County, about 200 miles north of San Francisco, right near a town called Shelter Cove, get this, 300 to 400 American GIs dressed and fully armed with the automatic rifles, armed for battle, fanned out on maneuvers through the woods, backed up by a dozen Black Hawk attack helicopters. The mountain people up there were frightened out of their wits. They thought there was a war going on, especially the ones who had soldiers kicking in the doors to their cabins and putting guns to their heads in front of their children. Why? Who was the enemy in this war? Not the communists, not Saddam Hussein, not Earth First, or even the Spotted Owl. No, the enemy. They called out the army to put down secretly so as few people outside of Humboldt would get alarmed as possible. It wasn't even a person or an army or a terrorist group. It was a plant. The marijuana plant. And they actually did find a few for the GIs to pull up, and then they had to fly in more from the government stash so the pile would look big enough when they lit the bonfire for the network TV news cameras so they could say, yes, another triumph in the drug war. Drug war. War. The American army sent to war against the American people. And we're supposed to feel relieved and secure and protected. Protected from what? A lot of people with more guts than I'll ever have risked their life and limb all last summer at the Earth First Redwood Summer Action up in Humboldt County. They were chaining themselves to redwoods that were three times wider than they were spread-eagled. They were 800 years old as the saws buzzed right over their heads. They stood in the dirt as the bulldozers charged them and stopped right at their toes. Or people waved clubs at them, charged them with logging trucks, shotguns, you name it. All to try and save some of the last unspoiled virgin forest we have left anywhere in this country from being chopped down and made into toilet paper, TV guides, and the Weekly World News. On the other side, the loggers saying, what about our jobs? What about our families? What about our lives? You needed wood and cardboard to make those protest signs. We need fuel. We need paper. It's almost gone. Where are we going to get more? The answer for centuries has been right under our nose. Grow more pot. If we're serious about saving the earth, saving the ozone, and our freedom to go about saving the earth and the ozone, and we should start by paying all those dirt poor coca farmers in South America and out of work loggers in Fortuna and Eureka and Midwest family farmers and Rust Belt families too to all get together and grow more pot. Why? Get ready for this. There's a book out. It's called The Emperor Wears No Clothes. The author's name is Jack Harar. It's published by Queen of Clubs. I think there's ads for it in High Times or Normal, National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws. They could direct you to one, I'm sure. And in this book, among other places, it is written, before the 20th century, the marijuana plant provided almost all the world's paper, all the world's clothing and textiles, and almost all the world's rope. According to none other than the U.S. Department of Agriculture, you can make four times as much paper from an acre of marijuana hemp plants as you can from an acre of trees. And instead of chopping down all the redwoods in Humboldt County and turning Northern California and Oregon and Washington into Appalachia or the Sahara Desert, if you do it with hemp plants, you can just grow another crop a few months later and make more paper. At one quarter the cost of making paper from wood pulp and only one fifth the pollution. The ancient Romans knew this and grew it. Henry VIII made each farmer in Old England grow their share. Because they knew if you want the strongest natural fiber there is, you all got to do your part for the king and grow more pot. And we did, too. Guess what Levi jeans were originally made out of? And guess what American flags used to be made out of? And guess what the early drafts of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were written on? And if that's too unchristian for you, guess what they made Gutenberg and King James Bibles out of? Guess what you can use to power a car? Can get at least four times as much cellulose to make gasohol or methanol from hemp stems as he can from a corn stalk, which along with solar energy would be a great way to avoid dying for oil in Saudi Arabia. In the 20s and 30s, most American cars and farm machinery had the option of running on gas or on methanol. Most racing cars still do run on methanol. And George Washington and Thomas Jefferson grew cannabis on their plantations and smoked it, too. In the 1760s in the American colonies, you could even be jailed for not growing pot, because that was part of the key to become economically independent from Britain. Hemp was legal tender in America, a substitute for money, from 1630 clear up until the early 1800s. And hemp seeds are a great source of protein, better than soybeans. And it's cheaper than soybeans, too. Or so says the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Marijuana is legal for medical use in 34 states. Used to treat glaucoma and pain caused by cancer. You can digest more protein out of a hemp seed than a soybean seed. It's even shown some signs of being able to combat herpes. And guess what kind of a parachute Mr. Drug War Junta Man himself, George Bush, used when he bailed out of that bomber in World War II? Hemp was illegal by then, but farmers were briefly ordered to grow it again in this country for the war effort and all, and the U.S. Army had their own stash all along in the colonies in the Philippines. So, how did everything get turned around so damn bad? Doesn't it strike you as a little dumb that we burn oil and choke ourselves and chop down all our trees and ruin innocent people's lives by branding them criminals and throwing them in jails or sending them off to drug camps or taking all their property and selling it before they're brought to trial, in the process making crack and heroin cheaper and easier to get than pot? Why do we do this when we don't have to? Meanwhile, the police chief of L.A., Daryl Gates, gets front page approval for telling a U.S. Senate committee that pot smokers...
Is Daryl getting a bit long-winded for you?